Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know, James and I were recently in Southern Florida where there was a confab of some really interesting Democrats and strategists and thinkers. And we had a number of interviews. I hope you'll catch them because they really, really were interesting. James, we got two great guests that we want to talk about American politics. Molly Murphy, one of the foremost pollsters on the Democratic side, and David Wassup, an encyclopedic knowledge of Congress, particularly the House and outcomes. So thank you both for being here. Molly, first, what's the environment like in 2026, say, compared to 2018, the last time Trump was?
So the environment has some similarities, but actually some really notable differences. So I would say in 2018, people were shocked that Donald Trump got elected, and they were negative towards him almost immediately. He entered office for his first term already underwater. Voters wanted to stop him. Republicans came out saying, we're going to put guardrails around him. And it created almost instant Democratic enthusiasm that sustained throughout the cycle. That has not been the story of Donald Trump's second term. In his second term, he came in popular, not as popular as other presidents had come in, but a majority of Americans approved of the job he was doing. And they were really hopeful that he was going to be able to turn the economy around. And the other notable difference in 2025, is that voters were incredibly down on Democrats. Democratic enthusiasm was low. We were losers. We were a party that couldn't govern. And so it has been sort of a crawling back in going into 2026. All of Biden residual, exactly. And a sort of sense that Democrats shouldn't have lost to Donald Trump. And so therefore, how could we ever win an election again? So it has been a long 2025. I think when we look at the results of the 2025 special elections, though, and the gubernatorial elections, electorally speaking, Democrats are in a really comparable position. We are winning elections. We are overperforming that 2024 margin. But the dynamics that got us to that point are different. And so Democrats are sitting in a really good position in 2026 that almost feels akin to 2018. But I do think those sort of wrinkles and contours make it such that Democrats should not assume that they are going to just waltz in and pick up a bunch of races.
And Lee, one question to David, then we'll turn over to James. You were the foremost expert on the popular vote and how it translates into House races. You've changed a little bit over the years. Right now, how much do Democrats have to win the popular vote, say, to pick up 16, 17 seats?
Yeah, well, the district lines have changed. And look, Democrats need to win the popular vote for House by 1 or 2 points to retake the majority thereabouts. But
that's less than you used to see.
Less than we used to see, in part because the district lines put in place after 2021 were a little less gerrymandered in Republicans' favor overall than they had been in the previous decade, but also because the Trump coalition today is less geographically efficient than it had been in the previous decade, because we're seeing Republicans win enormous margins in rural America districts. We're seeing Trump in 2024 broke into working class non-whites. And so that kind of evened out the geography a little bit. However, to get into the 16 or 17 seat pickup range, I mean, that's the equivalent today of Democrats picking up 40 seats in 2018. And so that would require
winning. They did, basically.
Right. Well, that would require winning the generic or winning the popular vote for House by 5 or 6 points. And we may be in that range today.
Yeah. James.
So I want to ask both. I think two things have really hurt the Democratic Party. One is we have not had an inspirational presidential candidate since 2012. I'm a big believer that, you know, when I was 15, I saw John F. Kennedy. So I was a kind of pro-civil rights Catholic kid in Louisiana, and that excited me. And I think the same is true with Reagan. I think you could say the same about either Clinton or Obama. So in the second thing, I think is really was a drag. And I think the embrace of identity politics really, really had a long shadow on the party.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But I think in 2028, we're going to get a fresh look. We'll get somewhat in 26 and 28. So I'll start with you, Molly, and I'll go to David. What would you advise Democratic messaging in 2028? And I know it's a long way, and we don't know what the unemployment rate is going to be. But, you know, what is the set of key points you think that we should make to reintroduce ourselves to
people? Yeah, I think that, you know, in some ways you can answer it because the issues are a little bit of a backseat in any presidential context. That, you know, of course, issues matter. Candidates talk about their policy positions. But I actually think sometimes the mistakes these candidates make is being too focused on policy papers and issues. I think that effective candidates in 2028 need to do two things. One, they need to start by being a person first, letting people know them as a human with their values, leading with their values and kind of what brought them to this moment, why they think they should be the president. And that doesn't have to do with issues and it doesn't have to do with policy accomplishments. And I think the second piece is, I think effective candidates need to respect the differences that they may have with voters. To your point about identity politics, it's okay for a Democratic candidate to feel a certain way on issues and still embrace people who don't agree with them. And I think one of the problems we've had is you're either with us or you're against us as a party. And I think that effective 2028 candidates need to recognize that you don't have to agree with me on everything, and I can still be the leader for you, and I can still respect the life you're living and your point of view.
So, David, I have a question. In all my time in campaigns, I'd get angry about it. Somebody would talk about how we can win the election. I said, you got to talk. I actually think ability to win an election is very important to Democrats now. I mean, I've completely done a 180. Do you have a sense that Democrats are willing to overlook a lot of things for a candidate they think can win?
In some cases, yes, but I think to Molly's point, weaving the biographical narrative into the electoral argument is essential. And we're, you know, the old model of, okay, this person, you know, climbed their way up the political ladder from state rep to state senator. Therefore, they have a loyal voting base. It's kind of out the window. The candidates who are in a great position to flip seats in 26 are people like Joe Mendoza in Arizona 6, a retired Marine, former Navy helicopter pilot, Rebecca Bennett in New Jersey 7. Political outsiders have done very well. That was true for Donald Trump. It was true for a bunch of Democratic candidates in 2018. true 26.
Molly, there is not a Senate race in Pennsylvania, and we know that Josh Shapiro is going to win big, but there are three or four House seats. I don't think you'll ever beat Brian Fitzpatrick. I don't care what it is. But the other three, how do you rate the prospects of winning those three seats? I'm talking about, you know, Perry and then the two in the upper.
Sure. Yeah. McKenzie and Bresnahan. So I feel very good about Democrats' chances in those races. And I feel good about them for two reasons. I think, you know, they're not all, you know, the Pennsylvania 8 being more conservative. Trump won it by the biggest margin, but it was held by Matt Cartwright for a number of years. Democrats on, you know, down ballot races, not looking just at the presidential, it's a much more, you know, competitive district under the surface. So the Trump margin there kind of makes it seem like it is redder than really the identity.
I haven't checked.
Yes, he did. He did. And so Democrats have some success there. You've got an interesting matchup there. You've got Paige Cognetti, full disclosure. I'm working for her campaign. I'm very, very biased towards her prospects, but for good reason. She is someone who entered mayoral politics as an independent, who took on a corrupt political machine in Scranton. So she has that sort of outsider independent story that she can tell. And she's running against Rob Bresnahan, who just won the seat, new congressman, has had a historic number of stock trades. You sort of pair up this anti-corruption
Washington
environment.
Rich, what's the point of public
Exactly. Well, he basically said, what do you want me to get poor? Was his quote.
Is that the Scranton district y'all talking about?
Yeah.
People are impressed with that mayor.
She's
tell you, I mean, they've really...
Out of the box was as good as I've seen. It really was.
Good. I'm glad you feel that way. And so I think those dynamics, you know, not just what a strong candidate she is, but kind of the foil that he is, make that a really interesting race. And then you've got Pennsylvania 7, you've got McKenzie, really, you know, sort of a flippable seat, a number of good candidates running in that primary that I think could overtake it. And so I do think that I agree Fitzpatrick is a strong candidate, but I do think that Pennsylvania's got as good a shot as any state in flipping some of these Republican held seats.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So, Ma, if you have to go, you're certainly excused because you said...
Thank you. Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Thank
Molly,
you.
Before I go, let me just ask you both. This will take 30 seconds. I think two mistakes Democrats, this is my view, should not make. Number one, don't abolish ICE.
Yes.
That's the defund the police.
Agreed.
And secondly, don't talk about impeachment.
Agreed.
I mean, maybe for Christine.
Sure.
You're not going to impeach Trump, and I think that gives...
I agree.
Do you both agree with that?
Yeah, not only is there impeachment fatigue, but we've seen historically... there becomes a backlash to the backlash, and Democrats have to be wary of that. And I think the median voter in this country wants to see immigration laws enforced, but in a way that's not paramilitary or draconian or inhumane.
I think I told you in the way yesterday, Hanover County forgives 65% Trump. The county commissioners, the great Susan Swecker wrote me this morning, voted unanimously against an ICE facility in that district. That tells you something. You both have to go. You've been marvelous with your time, and we appreciate
this it.
This is fun. And we're going to count. Well, you can come back and visit us sometime on a...
Right here? Theater.
Well, we can't always give you this. Maybe Iowa or Northeastern.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll see you there.
You know, on the immigration thing, I was just thinking... I like when people use military terms, when Democrats do that. You know, we straddled the target on immigration. Okay, Biden, you know,
yeah.
we shot way too low. We completely overshot it. Now we know what we got to do. I mean, we can take the lesson and you can say, that didn't work. This didn't work. We know good can work.
I agree.
If you just use that kind of language, okay, we got to hit the target, not straddle it.